you would find the verse, Hebrews 11:6 says, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and he does reward those who seek him." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Help me to be so plain that a child would understand me today. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me. Lord, that I could speak to a person or their situation. If you give it to me, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, help me to be reminded today that you see all of us. But for me, it's a greater judgment, a more strict judgment, because I teach your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Already been a good day. Amen. Yeah. For those of you who are with us for new, we're in the book of Hebrews, going through it chapter by chapter, sometimes throwing a couple chapters together. But we're here today. I want to catch you up so that you understand what's going on. The people that they're writing to are second generation Christians. They're won to Christ by people who actually walked with Christ. So they're young in their faith, they're new, they're young, they're facing a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty, a lot of persecution. They don't know how to handle it. And here's the warning. When we get into those places, we want to go back to an old way of life. And that's the warning of the whole book of Hebrews, is don't go back to that old way of living. Don't do it. And you and I know that there's a calling to that sometimes, that it was easier then, it's better then. We're going to handle that. But these people have their cultures colliding. I had a couple after the first service go, "Is it more overwhelming now?" And I go, "It was as overwhelming as our world is right now, it was just as overwhelming to these people." Just as overwhelming to them. I mean, they were getting killed, slaughtered. By rulers, emperors, they were just getting it from every side. So cultures were colliding, different cultures were overlapping other cultures, and so I mean, yeah, it's overwhelming today. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it was just as overwhelming for them. So what's the message here? Go forward. It's the message we're sending Avenues for Women. Tough times, but man, go forward. And we're going to send that with an encouragement, with a check, and then some well wishes, some blessings. Go forward. It's tough. And that's what's happening here. Let's don't go back. Let's go forward. We have last Sunday, here they are, they're overwhelmed, and they want to go back to the law of Moses because that was easier. And they're saying last Sunday, Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Moses. Then today we're going to handle, they want to go back to the sacrifice of Aaron. I mean, they're just trying to go back, absolutely go back. We have a saying here that I say, especially to the men. I'm glad I met you on this side of Jesus and not the other side of Jesus, because if I'd have met you on the other side of Jesus, it'd have been bad, you know? I'm glad I met you on this side of Jesus. And the picture here is, let's go on. One reason the church is the church is so we'll go on. One reason we're going to help Tiffany and Julie while Doug and Brad are gone is we're going to be there with you. Go on. Let's go on. Because there's always that tendency to go back, to just go back. And they're saying, don't do that. Let's look at Hebrews 5:1-4. Let's walk through this a minute. We're going to be talking about high priest for a moment. I'm going to make it as simple as I can for you. And we're going to be talking, and you see Aaron's name in the last line there, just above the scripture reference. And they're wanting to go back to the sacrifice and the way Aaron did it. And they're going to say, no, let's don't go back. Let's talk about high priest for a moment. Every high priest taken from men is appointed in service to God for the people to offer both gift and sacrifices for sins. He's able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, going astray, since he also can be weak. Because of this, he must make a sin offering for himself as well as for people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God, just as Aaron was. You had people here who wanted to appoint themselves high priest. they're saying, I want to be a high priest. That's not the way it is, especially at the end of it. It says the only person that can call them to the priesthood is God. Let me get modern day with you. Have you ever seen a preacher that self-appointed himself as a preacher? So have I. I've seen them. They weren't called by God. They just decided they want to be a preacher. Don't ever trust those people. And if they don't like fried chicken, don't trust them there either. That's another template, okay? So I really have a problem with somebody that's always wanted to be a preacher. Now, I know he can call even in the womb. He did that with Jeremiah. I know that's true. But my point is, who calls us to be preacher? God does. You don't self-appoint. Well, let me get a little more challenging with you for those of you who study Scripture a little differently. I don't know that people can call themselves prophets today. Now, that's going to make you think. How do I stand on that? Well, the very beginning of Hebrews says, I used to speak in the prophets of old, but now I speak through my son Jesus. And sometimes we've got people who have self-declared a prophet. You with me? He used prophets a long time ago, but now he speaks through his son. So I don't know that I could say, I'm Prophet Jeff Eaton. I could say that, but if I do, guess what I've done? I have self-appointed. Now, there are people in the Old Testament who tried to self-appoint. There's examples of people who declared they wanted to be a high priest. For one of those, God took everything he had from him. Another one, God judged harshly. And another one, he gave him leprosy. But those who self-appointed themselves as high priest, he took care of it. Now, let me get modern day with you for a moment, because I want to remind you, what I'm about to say, you'll have a little bit of a holy chuckle to it, but I also want you to know I believe it. I was leading a pastor's conference. There are about 100 pastors. They're just shelling questions at me. I'm standing up here like a bullseye, right? And it was a conference that ended up being a battle between old and new. Now, that was not the intent, but that's where it got to. I represented the new. And so I don't like you, you know? You're the new. So one guy asked me, he said, Jeff, you know, we get into a small group movement. We get into a house church movement. Aren't you afraid that somebody in there could start teaching heresy, that could be divisive in their teaching? I said, yeah, I think that's a fear of every pastor. Absolutely. On the front end, we need to train better. But even in training well, they can still do that, right? So one guy goes, well, how do we manage that? I said, you have to let the Lord manage that. Here's going to come the holy chuckle. If he sees that you're going to hurt his church, he can kill you. Do you understand that? Ask him if he has. Oh, yes. So they say, well, how do you manage that? I go, well, if they're going to hurt the church, he might just kill them. And I tell them that. That kind of changes the way you teach a little bit, you know? And you're going, well, wait a minute. No, no, no. Listen, in the book of Acts, there were some people lying to the Holy Spirit, hindering the church, made the church look one way, and actually there was another. And what'd he do with them? Two of them, husband and wife. What'd he do? Killed them. So don't ever go to thinking that that can't happen, because it can. Some of you know, we know of stories where God has removed people who were barriers to the gospel and the movement of the church. Now, here's the beauty of it. I'm glad that God is about the way I'm about to show you, but can he go, that's it? Yeah, he can do that. But here's why I love him so. Let's look in the middle. The high priest is supposed to be able to make an image of how God treats. And look in the middle. The high priest, it says, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray. Hallelujah. Right? There's grace given there. I'm glad that God, can he deal with me harshly? Oh, yes. Has he? Absolutely. But at least he didn't kill me. But the point of it is, he really intends to deal with you gently and bring you back and not let you go astray. Those who are far from God, he wants to bring near to God. That's what he does. So the high priest has a picture. The high priest has a picture of being who God is. So you can't appoint yourself as a high priest. You can, but you'll pay the price for it. So a high priest is not self-appointed. They're called by God. And they're to help bring God together. And this order is very important. If you don't get the order, you're not going to get the message today. So here's the order. The order is found out in verse 3. Because of this, he must make a sin offering for himself, as for the people. He did two things. He would come in, the high priest would come in, and he would make a sacrifice for himself. Why? Because he's sinful man. So if I'm going to do a ceremony that has you have your sins covered, I need to have mine covered, right? So the high priest comes in, he does a sacrifice for himself. Then the next sacrifice is for you. And why? Because he can be sinful man. This order is very, very necessary that you get this. The order is very, very important. And then you need to know that this high priest is chosen by God just like Aaron. Aaron was one of the very first high priests. Now, there can be an argument that Melchizedek, which we'll talk about in a moment, was one of the first ones. But Aaron was, he was chosen by God, and we'll talk about Aaron more later in Hebrews. But he was the right person in the right place in the right order, and order was important. Sacrifice for the priest first. Why? Because he's weak and sinful, and then a sacrifice for people. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and 6. It says here that we see that Jesus, that's Messiah, becomes our high priest. In the same way, the Messiah did not exalt himself to become a high priest. He didn't self-appoint, right? But the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father," also said in another passage, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." I want you to look at Psalm 2:7. Psalm 2:7 is there. That verse is used in Hebrews. Today I have become your father. And then I want you to look at Psalm 110:4. In Psalm 110:4 is, "I sworn to you on oath and will not take it back forever. You are a priest like Melchizedek." And this is back found in verses 5 and 6. Those two verses are used there. So he didn't self-appoint. He's called by God. And God said two things about him. "You're my son. I've become your father." You might think he's talking about Bethlehem when he's born, but he's not. He's talking about when he's been raised from the dead. How do I know that? Go to the next verse. He uses the word forever. "You have become priest forever." Remember when we started Hebrews, we're going to pay attention to three words. The word better, the word perfect, and the word eternal. And here it's the word forever, but it means eternal. You are an eternal priest. And you're in the order of Melchizedek. And my point in all this is, if you remember, after Easter last year, I had a series called The Next 40 Days, right? Even nod your head, even if you don't remember, make me feel better, okay? And in that, we don't really study the life of Jesus after the tomb and his ascension, and we're going to do it again after Easter this year. It's very important. We don't talk about the ascension, but when he ascended to heaven, he ascended physically. He wasn't a ghost, he wasn't a spirit, he wasn't a phantom. Physical ascension, physical resurrection, physical ascension. And you're going, where is Jesus today? It's a valid question. Where is he? Well, he's on the throne. Physically? Yeah. He's physically on the throne. He's king. He's not going to be king. He is king. Well, what's he doing up there? Playing Jenga? What's he doing? Well, he's directing the church. Well, how does he do that? Well, through the Holy Spirit. You and I don't tell the Holy Spirit where he goes. He tells us where to go. Who's directing that? The king. Jesus on the throne. What's he doing? He's telling me and you to take a love offering for Avenues for Women today. Right? Where'd that come from? That came from the throne. Let them know. Carry the banner forward. Stick with the faith. You're doing a great job. Who did that? Jesus did. From where? The throne. What's he doing up there? He's king. He's not only king there, he's high priest. He's both king and high priest simultaneously. Simultaneously up there, he's doing that. It points to the picture of the resurrection, and you are priests forever in the order of Melchizedek. And the order of Melchizedek is very important. The word order is very important. Why? Because Jesus changes the order. Jesus changes the order. It's no longer, he doesn't go in there and provide a sacrifice because of his sins, because he doesn't have any sins. But he did provide a sacrifice for us. There is no high priest until Jesus that laid down his life for the people. And the order has been changed. It's no longer a high priest offering a sacrifice for his sins and then yours. It is the high priest offered himself for all people. The high priest that did it the old way only did it to cover your sins. Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek, does it to cleanse you of your sins. That's the difference. The old high priest, even Aaron himself, God used Aaron, God used Moses. They were his people, but it wasn't complete. So there was a covering of sin. There was never a cleansing of sin. Until Jesus came, the order completely changed, and the order of Melchizedek is very important, and the word order is very important because he changed it. I'm sacrificing me for you, and I am the high priest. Where is he now? He's on the throne. He's king. He's high priest. He's directing the church. He's directing the Holy Spirit. He's doing all that together. We're going to find out another thing that he does as well. Let's talk about Melchizedek there at the end. Going to give you a little Hebrew lesson here, and hopefully an elementary Hebrew lesson. Some people say Melchizedek. Take the C-H and make it a K. And the reason we do that is because Melchizedek is made up of two words. The first one, M-E-L-C-H, and even I, is the word Melech, which means king. Melech in Hebrew means king. Zedek, and sometimes it's usually with a T, T-Z, but Zedek means righteousness. And the order of Melchizedek means he is the king of righteousness. He is the king of righteousness. We'll find out other names of Melchizedek later on in other chapters. But the point of it here is the order is forever changed. Hang on. We've got these young Christians, second generation, going through a tough time. They're not mature in their faith, and they're going, man, I don't like this world. I want to go back to the law of Moses. I understood that. No, it's a new day. Okay, this world is overwhelming to me. I want to go back to the sacrificial system of Aaron. Well, that's not good enough. Why? Well, we've got a new order of doing things. It's the order of Melchizedek. And the order is the high priest doesn't offer a sacrifice for him or you. This high priest laid down his life. We're going to a new order. We're not going back to the old order. We're going to the new order. Hang on. Let's don't go back. Let's go forward. There's always the tendency for us to want to be able to go back. E.V. Hill, great preacher, he's in glory now, preached a sermon one time on nothing but a cartoon strip. The cartoon strip did not have a bubble with words in it. It only had frames. The first frame was an egg, just an egg. The second frame was a chick pecking through the egg. You could see the little beak coming through the egg. The next frame was a chick coming out of the egg. And then the next frame was the chick kind of on an overlook, like you'd see at a mountain or whatever, and they could see the world. The chick could see the world and all the violence and the suffering and the disadvantage and everything going on. Just looked crazy, looked overwhelming. And then the next frame is the chick trying to get back in the egg. How many of us have felt like that chick? We looked at this world going, man, this place is jacked up. This place is crazy. Isn't that what our escapes really are? It's not so much that we're tired, and you are. We're all tired. And the problem is we're tired all the time because we don't take Sabbath, and that's another sermon. Right? So, but sometimes our escapes are to get away from this crazy place. It wasn't any different for Jesus, guys. Where did he go early in the mornings? He would get away from the people. Why? To spend time with the Father. You hear me? What ain't different for him? What ain't different for these people in Hebrews? They saw all the suffering. Let's get back in the egg. But the egg to us is, let's do the Moses thing. I knew that. My ancestors did that. Let's do the Aaron thing. My folks did that. My ancestors did that. We know that. And they're going, no, Jesus is better than Moses, and Jesus is better than Aaron. I was a young pastor. If I were to tell you, do you remember when Excel, the phone company, came into Kentucky? Does anybody here remember that? A lot of people in the early service did, which means it's an older crowd. Excel was a new pyramid company that came into Kentucky in the 80s. And I went to Louisville because you can make a pile of money for it. And it was that I would start off and build my pyramid, and I'd get Baber and Ashley to come in, and we'd build a baseline, then they'd get people, and I'd make money off my people, and I'd make money off their people, and then I'd make money off the other people, and you understand that, right? There's a guy that was leading that group, who's a preacher's kid, by the way, and Calipari's offices are named after him, so I'll just leave it at that. And I sat through the meeting, and it was how much money you can make. You guys are on the you're on the initial track. You're on the beginning track. You'll make money off everybody that makes money and all that stuff. Sounds great, right? Young preacher, I think I made $20,000 and $20,400. It was all the only income we had. Paid for everything. Going to seminary full time, and I'd give Julie just a few dollars to go to the grocery on. Man, that sounded good to me. You know what I'm saying? And here's what I'd do. I would say, hey, Baber, Ashley, y'all come over to my house and let me, what I'm going to show you is going to be the greatest thing for your life. It's going to change your life. And I'm supposed to have all these meetings with flow charts and flip charts. And sign them up immediately, Jeff. Sign them up immediately. And you'll make money off what you do, they do, and what their people do, and right on down the line, right? Excel. And I saw Jerry Hawkinsmith here this morning in the early service out in the lobby, and I've known Jerry since he was a young man. And I got him in a headlock today, this morning out there, kind of hugged him. He goes, are you hugging me or giving me a headlock? I said, well, if you're behaving, I'm going to hug you. If you misbehave, I'm going to give you a headlock. And I've given Jerry a number of headlocks in his lifetime, okay? Here's where the Holy Spirit got me in a headlock. On the way home, you ever have the Holy Spirit get you in a headlock? On the way home, my mind was flooding with these questions. Are you really going to tell these people in your home that that's the best thing that they can have in their life? If you're going to give them that kind of message, why don't you call them over there into your home and tell them I'm the best thing they could ever have for their life? You know what was pushing me to do is greed, selfishness, a lie that more money will make me more happy. We know that's a lie, right? And so the Holy Spirit got me in the headlock going, you mean you're really going to bring people into your house, do the flip chart, the flow chart, and tell them this is the best thing for their life? Here's the issue with these people. They're thinking going back to Moses is better. They're thinking going back to the sacrificial system of Aaron is better. And Jesus is better than Aaron, even though God used Aaron. And Jesus is better than Moses, even though God used Moses. And Jesus is better than what I was going to get wrapped up in a business life. And don't you ever tell anybody else that there's something better to their life than Jesus himself. Okay? Don't you ever do that. I found this out as I get older. I'm 58, going on 59. And as I get older, my message becomes more simple. It comes redundant because you don't get it the first time. By gosh, you're going to get it the 20th time. You hear me? You hear me? No amens? A little bit of nodding. Like you're agreeing that today's Sunday. There's a nod, right? All right. So my point in that is you had better when the Lord comes back or when you die, you better make sure of two things. Number one, you better be in a relationship with Jesus, and number two, you better be in the fellowship of the church. And you're going, there's not one without the other. And I'm telling you that. You better love his bride because he loves his bride. He's coming back for his bride. She's going to be spotless and without blemish when he comes and gets her. And I'm telling you, I don't care how young or old you are, you better be found out one of two things. You better be in a relationship with Jesus. You better be in the fellowship of the church. Because that is the most, that's basically what's being said here. Don't go talking to me about Amway or anything else, and I'm not against those things. But just don't go saying these things will be the best thing that ever happened in your life, because that's a lie. The best thing that happened to you is you connect to Jesus. I mean, Tom being dead, right? The best thing that ever happened to Tom was not Laura. It wasn't us. It was Jesus. So don't say, because you'll act like this other thing is better. It's not better. It's better than the law of Moses. It's better than the sacrificial system of Aaron. And that's what's being preached here. He is king and he is high priest and he is forever and he is forever and he is forever. The verses 7 and 8, let's look at them quickly. He had an earthly life, a physical life. In that earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries, tears. If you already know this passage, you study Hebrews, we're talking about Gethsemane prayers here. We're talking about being in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And he's making his prayers. He's doing, like, if you know the Gospels, it says that he was so stressed in his praying, and it's called hematidrosis. It's where your capillaries come to the skin surface. And your capillaries are so close that when sweat goes over them, it draws a blood color. It mixes them with blood. So sweat drops look like blood. It said that Jesus was praying so intensely. He was praying with intensity that he was going, sweat drops of blood were happening. And that's possible for all of us to be at that point. That can happen to us. And he's praying, and he's praying to the one who was able to save him from death. He was heard because of his reverence. We'll stop there. Here's some things I want to point out to you about that. Jesus wasn't, as our high priest, he wasn't just dying to cover sins. He was dying to cleanse sins. Hang on. He wasn't just cleansing your sin. He was cleansing the sins of the whole world. He didn't have my weight. He had all of our weight. There's a bigger issue from there. He's not asking the Lord to oppose his death, but he's saying, Lord, may your will be done. Tough prayer to pray. May your will be done. He's not opposing it. And the reason he's not opposing death is because he's been teaching all this time that he's going to die. It's no secret to him. It's why he came. He knew that. This is nothing new. But he's praying, Lord, let your will be done. So he's actually not asking him to spare him from death, even though you see the prepositional phrase from death. It's really out of death, meaning he knew he was going to die. He's really leaning more toward the resurrection, just like that other verse, I've become your father. Not about birth, it's resurrection. And it becomes a beautiful picture. And then he lives 40 days, he's ascended, he's on the throne, he's king, he's high priest. But hang on, this is the one I really want you to go home with, okay? I really want you to look at the end of verse 7, and he was heard because of his reverence. He heard him. The Father heard him. And I want you to know he still hears him, because he's not only on the throne now as king and high priest, he's on the throne as intercessor. While you slept last night, he prayed to the Father on your behalf. And guess what? The Father heard him. He's not only hearing him there, he's hearing him now. He's not playing Jenga. He's not playing Scattergories. What's he doing? He's directing the church. He's sending the Holy Spirit. He's moving in our hearts and our lives. But not only that, he is interceding for every one of us. He heard him there. He hears him now. And somebody that you care for and love for, Jesus is interceding with them on the Father, with the Father as well. Absolutely doing that. I want you to rest in that. To Julie and Tiffany, whose husbands are going to go serve, The Father is hearing the prayers of Jesus, interceding for your family. Man, that sounds good, but it's true. And go tell me that Excel's better than Jesus. The only reason he wanted me in Excel was so he could make money off me. Sorry about that. And then look at verse 8. This is very important too, because these people are suffering. And guess what happens to you in suffering? You learn how to be obedient in suffering. It said, though he was God's son, he learned obedience through suffering. Those who are going to go be deployed, it's going to be tough on their families, but guess what? Their families are going to learn obedience. It's going to be a tough time. Some of you are going through a tough time. What's God doing with you? He's teaching you obedience. He's teaching you what the most important thing in life is. And not only is he teaching you that, Jesus is on the throne interceding on your behalf and for those that you love too. I get a note all the time. There's a prayer meeting on Tuesday nights in a house, and they're all the time praying for me. And they send me a note, an email. We prayed for you tonight. This is what we prayed for you tonight. That means the world to me, because I need prayers. I'm a leader, and what I lead is not very welcoming to the world. And I need those prayers. But Jesus is praying for me and for you too. Here's the beauty of it. Look at Hebrews 4. The beauty of it is that Hebrews 4, 14, or 15, this is our high priest. We've already handled this. I just want to revisit it. For we do not have a high priest, being Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, the one who has been tested in every way, just like we are, yet without sin. He sympathizes with us. The Syrian Christians, the Christians in the Middle East, sympathizes. Everybody who dies a death because they're Christian, when their blood hits the ground, it just is fertilizer for the church. Do you understand that? It moves the church forward. You will never die in vain as a believer, ever. He will use your life and your death, your very shed blood, to further on the church. And we need to understand that, know that. He sympathizes with us. He knows what we're going through, and he's interceding for us just like anybody else, and he's cleansing our sins. Look at verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. After he was perfected, remember we pay attention to three words, better, perfect, and eternal. Perfected means complete. After the Lord was perfected, he became the source of eternal, there's perfect and eternal, salvation for all who obey him. And he was declared by God, not him, not himself, he didn't self-appoint. He was declared by God a high priest, and it's a whole different order. It's the order of Melchizedek. Verses 11 through 14 as we close is a warning of how you go back. We've handled these verses before in the foundation of our series earlier on, a few Sundays back. But here I want to revisit them, okay? And I want to walk through you, and I want to just be really honest with you. We baptized Dakota. Dakota is young in her faith. And being young in her faith, she's on milk. These verses are going to talk about milk and solid food or meat. I baptized Gavin this morning. He's on milk. He's young. Does he know everything? Of course not. I baptized his dad and stepmom last Sunday. And even though they're much older, they're still on milk too. They're learning. Okay? They're learning. They don't understand everything that's going on. He says to them in verses 11 through 14, he says, we have a great deal to say about this, about wanting to go back. And it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Now, I'm going to use those words, and I'm just going to pour them all over you, all right? Some of you don't understand because you're too lazy to understand. You'll check your Twitter account more than you'll check the Word of God. And you're going, you're picking on me. I am picking on you. I can start all kinds of Bible studies here, and there'll be 40 or 50 people sign up. By week 3, we've got 5. Tell me I'm wrong. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. You know, why? Just too lazy. If you don't try to understand, you're not going. Let me just say it to you. Jesus, and Baber's a young Christian, and he's growing. His name's Stanley. We call him Baber. But Jesus, I'm going to pick on you, Baber, okay? Jesus is not going to say, well, Baber's saved. I've got this big vat of experience here, and I'm just going to pour it on him. Is that how maturity happens? I just pour it on him? Nah. Baber's got to want to understand. And he does. And you're going, well, preacher, you can offer more Bible studies here, and the people who fuss about it won't come to them, but they want me to offer them. So we've just gone another route. Because it just, you're going, well, four or five of them showed up. You know, don't ever say to me, well, if we do this and we just win one to Christ, it'll be worth it. Don't you ever say that to me. Because I'm not about winning one to Christ. I'm about getting a hold of a whole world, okay? So don't just come up to me with that. Well, if we just win one, I've heard that till I could throw up. The point of it is, I don't want to just win one. I want to win all of Frankfort and Anderson County. I don't want anybody to have never heard the message that Jesus is better than Excel Phone Company. You hear me? So what happens? When we get too lazy to understand this life of Christ, we'll start going back. That's the point. You'll drift back to the law of Moses. You'll drift back to the sacrificial system of Aaron. You'll drift back to the life that Jesus pulled you out of. When you become too lazy to understand, how do I live with Jesus in this crazy world? How does that happen? Then it says in verse 12, although by this time you should be teachers yourself, you should be teaching other people how to persevere, how to go on. You need somebody to teach you even the basic principles, the very basic principles of God's word and revelation. You should be teachers, but you still need somebody to teach you even the basic stuff. You need milk. Yes, you do. You need milk, even though Baber's older. Now, you're not old, but you understand what I'm saying. But even though he's older, he still, when he came to Christ, was on milk, and he's switching to meat. You got it, but if you don't mature in the Lord, if you don't mature in him, you're not going to know the difference between good and evil. I mean, you could come to me and bring up a situation, and I go, you need to leave that alone, that's evil. Well, how do you know that? Because I've walked with Jesus longer than you have. You're going, oh man, I don't see that as evil. I mean, for example, let's just take gambling for a moment. I was in a barbershop, Prestonsburg, Kentucky, Floyd County. I was preaching revival at their church there. Went down to the barbershop and hung out. And nobody came in there to get a haircut. They just drank coffee and read the paper, right? And this guy comes in. You the preacher doing revival down here? Yeah, I am. Well, I'm going to ask you something. He didn't ask me my name, didn't ask me if I had a good dog or nothing. I mean, just let me ask you something. I said, what? He goes, what do you think about gambling? I said, I don't think you should do it. He said, why? What if I've got extra money? Well, I said, if you've got that extra money and you want to do good with it, give it to the church. He goes, nobody's ever told me that before, and walked out the door. I mean, seriously, if you got money to gamble with, give it to us. Heck, we'll do something with it. We'll help somebody adopt a child. We'll help somebody in foster care. We'll bring on more staff people if we have to. If you got money to waste on all that, give it to us. No amen there? Yeah. I'm not looking for a lottery ticket to save me. I think my source of living is through God alone. How do I know that? Because I've walked with him longer than you have. Am I smarter? No, I'm not smarter. It's just been a long walk. And he's never let me down yet. And he never will. You want to know why? Because he's on the throne. He's king. He's high priest. And he intercedes on my behalf. And he doesn't tell me the numbers of the lottery ticket. So I could pick out all kinds of things. And you're going, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, you haven't walked with him as long as I have. Because you don't get something for nothing. You hear me? How'd I get on that? I have no idea. It's not in the first service. So it's for somebody in the second. That's that word of knowledge I pray about. So whoever needed that, wear it, okay? You got it. You all this is if you are too lazy to understand, you're going to go back. If you stay on milk, you're going to go back. If you don't move to meat, you're going to go back. If you don't mature in the Lord, you'll never know the difference between good and evil. Let me give you four examples. I think the unseen world is more real than this chair right here. And you're going, well, how do you get that? I've just lived with him a long time. I've experienced a lot of stuff. But I'm going, the unseen world of demons and angels is more real than this room right here with us. And not only is it more real, it's older than this world. You understand that? It's older than this world. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But it's true. How do I know that? I've been walking with him for a long time. You need to understand that demons huddle up like a football team saying, how can I destroy this family? How can I destroy this life? That happens. That is real life. You hear me? And you're going, all demons don't bother me. The heck they don't. Yeah, but you know what? Want to look at them? If they see that our gaze is on the King of Glory, if our thinking is on the fact that he's King and High Priest and he's interceding on my life and I rest in that, I follow him in obedience, even when I suffer, that's when my obedience becomes the strongest. And whatever you all are suffering through or going through right now, walk through it with obedience. God will honor that. Don't go thinking, well, the world will take care of my suffering better. Uh-uh. That's like saying the law of Moses is better. Aaron's sacrificial system is better. No, it's not. Whatever you're going through right now, go through it with him in obedience, and he's going to lead you right through that situation. I promise you, that's what he does. I'm just a spokesperson on that, but I'm also give testimony. Heck, I couldn't sleep last night. I was ready to preach. I could go on, but I won't, all right? Even those of you who just said quietly, boy, I wish you would. Okay, I felt you. Don't go back. I would rather walk with the Lord in the unknown, right, than not have him in the known. I'd rather have him in all the confusion and the suffering and the complexity and just the craziness. I'd rather walk with him in that than go back to the known without him. I'm going to leave you with what I left you with last Sunday. Let's pick up the banner of faith. Let's go forward. Let's send money to Avenues for Women tomorrow from this church saying, go forward. Tough times. Your ministry is on the increase. Let's just take the banner of faith and let's go. Let's don't go back. Amen. You receive that today? Hope you do. Let's pray. Father, I pray over our people today. There's a tendency of all of us to be the chick that looks at the crazy world and wants to get back in the egg. But you've not called us to go back. You've called us to go forward. And we commit to going forward today. You're our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, your High Priest, your King, and you're interceding for us on our behalf. And I love you for that. Lord, you can smite me at any moment, but yet you gently handle me. You handle me gently, graciously, mercifully, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray from this day on, my life will never be a disappointment to you, that there'll never be a day of disobedience, that I will obey you even in suffering, just like these people and just like you. Thank you for being our Lord. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ today. You come as the Holy Spirit beckons you. There'll be people here to minister to you, with you, and for you. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you eat it, remember his sacrifice for us, high priest sacrifice, and give thanks. The invitation is this. Logan's going to lead us. Here's the invitation. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Logan's going to lead us. You respond.